And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We are live in our studios today, but we are pre-recording today's broadcast because of the upcoming pastors' conference that will be taking place in the state of Pennsylvania. So, again, we are recording it live, but you are listening to it in a pre-recorded fashion, and we want to welcome you to our Thursday broadcast of the Grace Hour. We do also welcome you to share your comments with us. We won't be here in the studio to read them, but we can take a look at them once the broadcast is complete. So don't let that stop you from weighing in and sharing your thoughts about our subject matter on today's broadcast. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Tom Schaller will be your hosts for this broadcast. And of course, this week we've been following the theme of what it means to live beyond human limits. And today, our subject is wisdom. And of course, if we're going to live beyond human limits, we absolutely must have God's wisdom. And we're going to look at that today and share our thoughts with you on that subject matter. And again, we do invite you to weigh in on the chat and share your thoughts with us as well. Pastor Schaller, before we got the broadcast started here today, you made a what I think is a great comment, and it doesn't encompass everything that we want to say about wisdom, but it really does hit home because of its practical wisdom. And that is, you said that without wisdom, we may gravitate towards either lust or laziness. Mm. That caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a great statement.
Yeah. The theme this week is live beyond human limits, and that covers a big spectrum. Let's say if you think of the house where we live on the first floor and the natural man and natural resources and natural orientation, then he's going to struggle in life because life has to be lived beyond our human limits, our, you know, natural understanding. Even intelligent people who are maybe very gifted in some area of intelligence, they don't have what it takes to really live a full, satisfied, contented, purposeful life. This can only happen by God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's by him that we actually get a hold of what the whole meaning of life is. He is called the I Am in the Gospel of John. And I like that title. He is the I Am. And everything else is more of a natural phenomena. But he is God, and he is the only wise God. So I believe that we must live our life beyond ourselves. And therefore, then, like, this subject of wisdom is very relevant. Mm.
How could we even identify what folly is and what foolishness is without wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we wouldn't have a starting point, would we?
Yeah, we need a baseline.
Yeah.
And I think the baseline is Christ. Christ is, he came into the world to show us that we could actually live a life better than our own. And it's through God that Christ did that.
Real wisdom is grounded in Christ. It's found in Christ. It's the way we establish our lives to bring into our lives these godly principles whereby we can live productive, fruitful, purposeful, and as you said, satisfied lives.
Yeah.
Without wisdom, this kind of wisdom, which we know comes from above, you can see why people would slip into despair. You could see why people could come to a place in their lives where they wonder if it's even worth all of the trouble to keep living.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you lack wisdom, you lack the baseline truths for your life.
Mm-hmm. When Christ was here, we saw miracles happen through wisdom. Yeah. We listened to parables and teaching from Christ, discourses, explanations, even questions he asked. This is living life beyond human limits. We watched his footsteps as he traveled through Israel and went up to Jerusalem. So we are looking at a man. He said, "Greater a man, wisdom greater than Solomon is here in Israel." This is he's speaking about himself. So to break it down, in the middle of the Bible, there are five books of wisdom: the book of Job for suffering. And if you think about suffering, you just say, that's too bad. Suffering happens, but then how should I suffer? Then you have the book of Psalms, how to worship, what is worship? And then Proverbs, how to handle money, relationships, suffering, difficulties. Then you see Ecclesiastes, the purpose of life, that there has to be purpose. Without God's wisdom, I wouldn't know what it is. And then Song of Solomon, the love book. So we have wisdom addressing suffering, worship, practical living, purpose in life, and love.
Mm. And didn't God create this world by wisdom? And then at least place the capacity in those that were created in his image to operate in that kind of wisdom.
Okay, yes. People in the Bible like Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, we see Isaiah, Jeremiah. They lived in a world, and especially, I would say, the book of Proverbs. The main point of wisdom is that we are able to operate effectively in this life. And that means how do we conduct ourselves? How do we talk? How do we stay motivated? How to overcome temptation? So without wisdom, we really can't live an effective life, a godly life. But the good news is that through Christ, by the Spirit, and in the Word of God, then we're able to live an effective life. Maybe, Pastor Love, you could comment on that. Like, an effective life, what does that mean?
I would imagine that it goes along these lines. An effective life is a fruitful life.
Mm-hmm.
A life where relationships are a blessing rather than problematic. It will help us in terms of dealing with our financial struggles if we have them.
Mm-hmm.
It will help us to look to the future with some hope.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I think it's a baseline for dealing with reality, mm-hmm. as opposed to stepping into a world of fantasy, which can only lead to destruction and heartache.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you have Greek wisdom. Greeks were more philosophers and theoretical thoughts. You know, the Jewish people were more practical. Like, does this work? Could I build a business and be effective? Not theoretically. Like, somebody could get a master's in business administration, but then maybe really never run a business, you know, like, or have a marriage, get married, or fall in love with a woman. Well, I could do that, but then do I have the means to be a good husband and for her to be a good wife, mm-hmm. and keep our marriage together and to be loving each other? I don't want to say much more to it than that this is the essential difference between the Greek mind with wisdom and the Jewish mind. Mm. And when Jesus came, he actually, like, of course, as a Jew who understood with God's heart and mind that we are here to be effective. Mm. not to be theoretically perfect, but to be effective, to be loving, to make good decisions. And there are some areas I could bring up here in our talk where I need to live beyond human means in regards to women, mm-hmm. beyond in regards to relationships with women. A man in his relationships with women, we have in Proverbs 5 a great warning, chapter 6 a great warning, and chapter 7 a great warning to men regarding women. So obviously there's need for instruction, mm-hmm. and also warning. So in that area, I want to go beyond my human limitations. In other words, if you leave a man alone, left to himself without wisdom, then how will he conduct himself with women who are hunting for a man? Mm-hmm. You know, women who maybe don't have the integrity, are not serious about a relationship, then how does a man conduct himself? Mm. That's one. There's two more. Mm.
That has such a practical edge to it. And uh-huh. I think that's what wisdom is all about.
Yeah, right? It is.
Isn't it taking the knowledge that we possess and putting it into practice?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real essence of wisdom.
Right.
That you know what you do. You mentioned earlier in the lunch wrap today how a person can write a book about marriage, and they can give you all of their ideas or their thoughts or their principles. But yet when you sit down and talk with them, you ask them the question, have you been married? They would say, well, no, I haven't, but I know everything about it.
Yeah, right.
But if you haven't experienced it, how do you know everything about it?
Sure. And that's essentially the point about Jewish wisdom, we can call it that, because I've read it that way, and it is it's practical, it works, it's beneficial. It's not necessarily perfect, because we are not looking for a perfect world. We're looking for a good one, a beneficial one. And I like this illustration. When I go to the dentist to get my tooth fixed, then I don't say, is it perfect? I say, does it work? Mm-hmm. Or did you do a good job? Or what can I do now? You say, yeah, you can go, you can eat and have a good day. And I don't say, is it perfect? No, that's not the right word. Mm-hmm. It works. And I like to think life like that. Like, it's not necessarily perfect. Yeah, I wish this wasn't there and that wasn't there and so on. But in the reality, I have to face what I have and look for a resource beyond human limitations.
Mm, amen to that. Now, one of these scriptures that really speaks, it kind of gets us on the road to experiencing this wisdom is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What exactly do you think that means? Because sometimes when you hear that word fear, people, you know, they get frightened by the word fear.
Yeah.
Like it has torment.
Yeah.
But what exactly does Solomon mean when he wrote that in Proverbs?
Well, it doesn't have any torment. It doesn't provoke me to sin. It doesn't tempt me. It's not mocking me. It's not belittling me. But the fear that is healthy is respect. I like to think of a train track, and on the schedule it says a train is coming by at 8:15 in the morning. So I want to know, like, where should I stand in regards to the passing train? And because it's coming in a couple minutes, so I respect it, you know. But I'm not afraid of it, because it will be on the tracks. It's not capricious, crafty, foxy, ready to catch you. Like a serpent, if you take a rattlesnake, whip it around, and throw it in your bedroom, and then just say, I'm going to go to bed now. Like, I fear the snake, but I fear it because I don't know where it is. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I just know that it's a very bad thing. Well, that's not God. That's not the nature of God. The train on the train tracks with a lot of power, that's God. And I should respect him because he is Almighty God.
Mm, great illustration. If we lack wisdom, which we so often do, James in his epistle wrote, if you lack wisdom, then just ask of the living God, and he will give it to you. And he'll give it to us liberally. He won't hold it back. There's something about developing wisdom in our lives, but we get that from God. We have to ask, don't we?
Yeah, but I do think I have to be exercised in meditation, exercised in the Word of God. The Word of God gives wisdom in Psalm 119. I ask God for wisdom, but he also will lead me to his Word. And in the meditation of his Word, there's a resource that brings us beyond our human limitations. In three areas that I had, one was the women and the lust for women. So wisdom is not lusting. Wisdom is, it has this mind and heart for the good thing, for the mind of God, for the heart of God. We're not perfect and we fail, but there is a richness in the wisdom, in enlightenment from the wisdom. The light of the righteous shines brighter and brighter into the perfect day. And there is a lot of help that comes from God in his Word. The second thing is laziness. The book of Proverbs actually has a lot about laziness. Do you know offhand, Pastor? We referred to Proverbs 26 earlier.
Yeah, the 26th chapter has a great deal to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
I could read some of those verses.
Verse 13.
Yes, it says, the sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. And the sluggard in verse 15 buries his hand in the dish, wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes. It says a lot about the lazy individual there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, just those two things that you've mentioned already, women and laziness, you could probably trace those two things back to a lot of problems in people's lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if there is no wisdom in these areas of life, it could lead you into a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache.
So let's say I am a fool and these things catch me constantly. I'm like finding myself, identifying myself as a womanizer or a lazy man. And so what do I do? I have to look to life beyond human limits, confess my weakness, look to God, take his Word in my heart, have the Holy Spirit will impress it on my heart, and I will get convictions. Yeah. I really need a church. I mean, the church will help me a lot, and friends who speak the Word of God.
Yeah, and I think that this is a good way to lead into that aspect of our lives because of how valuable and important it is to be in the company of like-minded people, to be in the company of people who are seeking and pursuing after wisdom.
Yeah.
Is to be in a good company of people.
Very good. The third word is words. I mean, we offend a lot by words. You can also say thoughts, phrases, dirty jokes, curse words, anger words, selfish words, gossip words, slanderous words. This is lacking wisdom because wisdom has the control over the tongue, and the wisdom is an edifying wisdom. it's words of life, Jesus said, that my word, it is spirit and life.
So that brings us back to the local church, the studying and the meditating on the scriptures. Mm-hmm. The more your soul is saturated with the word of God, safe to say that the more wisdom you will have, practically speaking, mm-hmm. in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it stands to reason.
Yeah.
The more I understand my Bible, and with an understanding of my Bible, I'm having an understanding of the character and the nature of God, I'm going to start to live with wisdom in my life.
Yeah, you know, it'll probably save me from a lot of trouble. Proverbs 26:17, he that passes by and meddles with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that takes a dog by the ears. Now, do you know about dogs and ears, Pastor?
Don't touch them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Their ears are sensitive.
Very sensitive.
So taking a dog by the ears is like me meddling in with something not my business. But I can be drawn to scandal of other people. I can be drawn into like somebody's business, their family, their money, their finances, their family, because of intrigue, curiosity, scandal mongering, gossiping. And then I get involved and I'm like taking a dog by the ears. And it's foolish. I need to learn wisdom and control those desires that I have in my heart to get involved with other people's business. Mm-hmm. Wisdom will direct me.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that verse. The psalmist said, you know, by my nature, the natural man, my soul cleaves to the dust.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, but quicken me according to your word. I mean, wisdom has a quickening effect upon our souls. We come alive in terms of wisdom, understanding, discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Discernment, isn't that the essence of wisdom? We can discern something that is not of God as opposed to something that is of God. We can discern if we're going to go to the right or go to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's that practical edge that wisdom gives us.
I would say I've only got three words here for need to walk close with God and get the doctrine and the teaching and to be with wise people. Those three were women, laziness in words, and we could add another one, money.
Mm.
Like money does take people down. Maybe the love of money can change my heart, my attitude in life. Wisdom will give me the right understanding of money, the use of it, the distribution of it, the attachment to it, and manage those things. That when I am foolish, I can be destroyed by my money. When I'm foolish, I can be drawn to a scandal that's not my business. When I'm foolish, I can be lazy and not even bring my hand up to my mouth. It's a proverb. You know, I can't even take the meat I took in hunting and roast it. I can't get it done. I can't go from A to Z, you know, step by step, because I lose my motivation. But wisdom is able to direct us. And this is more than intelligence, is also motivation. And it has a moral tone to it. It has a moral, because life is moral.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be more than just, let's say, a money decision. The point is to make money. No, the point is to be morally right and walk with God and to do what God is leading me to do. And he would not lead me to be dishonest. He would not lead me to cheat. He would not lead me to, like, love money rather than loving him.
Mm. Yeah. Let's contrast the two kinds of wisdom. In James chapter 3, he writes and asks the question, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts. Don't boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, even demonic. For whereas jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What a contrast between the wisdom from below, from this world, and the wisdom from above. Just reading about the wisdom from above gives almost a calming effect to your heart. Mm. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, good fruits. And then a harvest of righteousness is the result of it.
Mm. Mm.
What a beautiful way to think.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
to live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if a good conscience, you know, this is in Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, the end of the commandment, the goal is love out of a pure heart, faith unfeigned, and a pure conscience. If you take those three things and say that's end game is love, that's genuine, and a pure heart and a good conscience. Mm. And let's say you're 90 years old and you've lived a life of wisdom, then you're going to be okay. You're not plagued by guilt. You're okay. You found, there could be people listening and saying, well, I sold the farm a long time ago. I mean, I'm like way past, there's nothing I can do. And we would say, no, if any man asks, if he lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all men liberally and upbraideth not. In James chapter 1. So don't give up. Like, now's a good time to start living in wisdom.
Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, and he reminded them, and he says, and because of him, referring to God, you are now in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It sounds like the fact that we are now in Christ, God gives us his wisdom. We can, again, live beyond human limits now because we have this wisdom from above.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a powerful statement that he makes there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Zacchaeus was in the tree. He was rich. He was tax collector. He was probably intelligent and capable. But when he met Jesus, he repented. He got things straightened out. And I'm sure he was saying, never met anyone like this. I want him in my life. I believe in God. I believe he is the savior of the world. And so now Zacchaeus is on another road. Not that he couldn't do it his way, but he chose to find a different way. And that's the wisdom that's from above. Mm. And that means that, like you said earlier, the fear of God is the beginning of it. And, you know, I've never found a Bible verse in the Bible where it says that you have the beginning of wisdom, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but we don't find any verse about the middle or the end of wisdom. Because I think that's not the point. The point is that I got to get it. It's got to start somewhere. Mm. And then once you have it, it goes forever. There's no end to wisdom.
Wow.
It's eternal. It's the nature of Christ.
Wisdom to me sounds like, well, in John's Gospel chapter 6, Jesus says some things to many of his disciples that were hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And many of his disciples did not, they walked with him no more. Then he turned to the 12 and said, you know, what will you do?
Yeah.
And real wisdom sounds like what Peter said.
Yeah.
Where will I go?
Yeah.
Where would I go to hear these words of eternal life?
Yeah.
No one else has them. That sounded like wisdom.
Yeah, it does. It does. And giving the credit to Peter is a good thing because he does deny him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is confused and troubled. But that's another thing about wisdom. The just man will get up though he falls seven times. He will keep getting up because he knows there's nowhere else to go. There's no better life, no better way of thinking. There's no orientation that's better than the only wise God.
What's the best way, practically speaking, to bring this kind of wisdom into our lives? I mean,
yeah.
I at times I consider myself more a fool than I am a wise man. But I want wisdom. I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
I want to become wise. We mentioned earlier about church. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Secondly, the company that we keep. I could become a fool, or I could revert back to my foolishness if I spent time with the wrong company.
Yeah.
I mean, the company that we keep is one of the more important decisions that we make in life.
Yeah, my mother said that to me when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Be careful who you hang out with.
Yes.
But I didn't.
I didn't listen. I did not listen.
Yeah, right. Well, I didn't understand it, I guess.
Yeah.
But in the church, you learn. And you learn to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it wisdom to be a New England Patriot fan in the NFL?
At this particular time, it looks like we're becoming more wise. We're growing in our wisdom.
That quarterback did great the other day.
Yes, he sure did.
He did.
He looks like we got another young Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's wisdom.
That's wisdom.
No, but how do we wrap it up? I would say man must live beyond human limitations. If you live only that way, you will be stunting your life, limiting your life, freezing parts of your potential. You'll be cutting off an arm or a leg. You'll be hurting your future and living another life. But if you fear God and begin to listen to God and embrace, not only hear him, but embrace and execute what he says, then you will find a better life. It may not be pretty all the time. You might end up in trouble, but you will have wisdom. And it happened to Joseph in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Eventually he got out of prison because he had wisdom to interpret the dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah was told to build an ark. Wisdom says, build the ark, and he got about to do it. He went about to do it, and 120 years later, it was done. Mm. He did it. You know, execute. Not only hear, but also believe. James chapter 1. Mm. Not just look in the mirror and go your way and forget what you saw, but actually study it, realize it, and walk in that.
Yeah. It's almost as if Jesus shared wisdom when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, when he said, turn these stones to bread and prove that you are the Messiah. And Jesus said, no, a man can't live by bread alone. It's going to take every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's wisdom to say, hey, everything in this life, what this world offers, will never cut it. It will never be enough. I will not find the life that I hope to have without learning to live by every word that comes forth from God. Well, I think we've shared some great thoughts on the subject of wisdom. The practical edge is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It can save us. It can deliver us, can't it?
Yeah. I mean, suffering, Job, I've got to learn about it from Job. Worship, I got to learn about it. From Psalms, I got to learn about my purpose, learn about love. I want to learn. And Bible college for me was an eye-opener. I loved it. I learned in it. It wasn't always so good from my own point of view, but I had faith. I continued in it, and I'm very happy for that. And all my life, I've been able to be part of that and with you and many others and just say, yeah, God is real. God talks to us. He speaks to us through his word. Let's hear it and embrace it and execute it.
Amen. Amen. Well, friends, thanks so much for joining us for today's Grace Hour broadcast. Again, one more broadcast coming up on living beyond human limits. But today's subject, again, focused on wisdom. And again, if you lack it, then you ask of the living God, because he is also the giving God, and he loves to give wisdom to his children. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, stay tuned for the next Grace Hour broadcast coming up a little less than 24 hours from now. Until then, may God bless you.